Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Believing in Jesus is one thing, but having a daily relationship with Him is something that is entirely different. When we have a real relationship with Jesus, we will know His heart for the lost. If we know this, we will be driven to be about our Father's work. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 13 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 10.
It's not enough for us to mentally agree with the truth of Scripture. James chapter 2, I believe it's in verse 19, very clearly tells us, you believe in God, the devils believe and tremble. It never ceased to amaze me after I first got saved, how following the baptism of Christ by John the Baptist and the declaration, "You are my only begotten Son," how when Jesus was driven into the wilderness, how the devil knew who he was while the theologians and the scribes of the day were scratching their head wondering, "Who is he?" You see, it's not just enough to have the information about Christ. We are to be overcomers. Overcomers are to be people who love the truth of God. You see, it's not just enough for you and me to agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a good thing. But it's got to be more than that. We must love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our being, all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And as I said a moment ago, the Greek word for love, agape, the Greek word for faith, pistis, are verbs. They're not nouns. They're action words, something that is visible, something that grips our heart. It changes the way we think, the way we live, the decisions that we make. See, to be a lover of the truth means that you and I are designed by God as new creations to be men and women of that have a great passion for the things of the Lord. When we are a lover of truth, that means we're going to have a passion for His Word. A passion for His Word. It means that we're going to have a passion for prayer. It means that when we worship, there's going to be a passion for worship. There's going to be a passion for a fellowship with one another. There's going to be a passion for the lost. And I pray that if you consider this to be your home, that you would pray that God would breathe upon us the spirit of passion. God wants us to be a passionate people, not a passive people. Not passive when it comes to the Word of God. Not passive when it comes to reaching the lost. Not passive when it comes to worshiping. But passionate. I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, was a passionate man. He was moved with compassion. And you and I are called to be men and women of passion. Hey, look at where the world is headed. They're going to be worshiping the dragon and worshiping the beast. That is a twisted and inordinate passion. How much more should you and I be passionate about the living God? I think of how in the book of Acts, the Bible records how for 2 hours, people were saying, "Great is the Diana, great is Diana of the Ephesians," for 2 hours straight. Can you imagine? If we were to say, we're going to have a worship service for 2 hours, go, "Come on, man. Do you know what time kickoff is?" Yeah, kick it off, man. For 2 hours. Realize that the vast majority of Christendom would consider you and I being in this room worshiping the Lord for 2 hours to be weird. Then I want to be weird. Passion. Passion. Again, in verses 5 and 6 there, guys, notice reference to blasphemy. Blaspheming His name. What does it mean to blaspheme the name of God? Well, when the Bible talks about the name of God, it means all that He is. We would call them His attributes. The totality of what the Scripture reveals about God, that's what His name is. And the Antichrist is going to be an arrogant blasphemer. The verse is up on the screen there. Daniel 7 verses 8 and Daniel chapter 7 verse 20. He's going to have a mouth that speaks very great things. Daniel 7 21. He shall speak great words against the Most High. Daniel chapter 11 verse 36. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. I was thinking about this blasphemy, not dwelling on it, not getting obsessed with it, but as I began to think of the definition and began to think of how it is revealed in Scripture, it hit me really, really hard. This fact that it never ceases to amaze me how many brilliant people in this world are also some of the most blasphemous people in the world. They blaspheme or they question the biblical doctrine of creation. They blaspheme or seek to redefine the biblical doctrine of the covenant of marriage, which God says is to be a monogamous relationship between a man and a woman in his sight. They blaspheme the biblical doctrine that life begins at the moment of conception in the womb. We are living in a society that blasphemes our God and anything that God deems to be holy or sacred. Blasphemy is very common in the world that you and I live in. And the spirit of blasphemy has been in existence since Christ has come. And it will spread throughout the entire earth to such a degree that when God does send judgment, instead of repenting and turning to the Lord, we read in Revelation chapter 16, verse 9, that men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. That's a hard heart. But once again, we're reading about all of this demonic activity on planet Earth, and yet our Bible tells us that our God reigns. He sits on the throne. I just love that. You see, because nothing that we read about in Scripture, nothing that the forces of darkness do on planet Earth can go beyond the sovereign decree of God. Notice that we read in verses 5 and 6 that they are only to have this worldwide power for 42 months. You see that? Only 3.5 years or 1,260 days, the specific time frame that we read about in the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. You see, beloved, the world doesn't know the truth. It's our responsibility to tell them the truth. There is this thinking in the world that Satan is God's equal. In fact, they have a New Age symbol, the yin-yang, equal and opposing forces of darkness and evil. Listen, guys, listen carefully, especially if you're not born again. Satan, according to the Bible, is a created being, a fallen angel that must bow before and be subject to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to see at the end of this chapter that he can't change it into 5-3-1. We also know he can only have power for 42 months, 1,260 days. He cannot have power for 1,261 days. Why? Because it's fixed. He can't go beyond the eternal decree of the sovereign Lord. I love that. And even though we know in Scripture that all creatures, angels and man, are given autonomy, we know that that autonomy is limited within the scope of God's sovereign and eternal purposes. And so with all of this chaos going on during the Great Tribulation period, our God reigns. Maybe there's a little bit of chaos in your heart or in your home or in your life right now. Chances are we've got to hit one nail on the head. And if that is the case, and you are committed to Jesus Christ, your God reigns. We don't understand his ways, how he works, but we know that he reigns. We know that our times are in his hands. And so here is this power of evil that is unleashed on planet Earth in verse 7 tells us, and it was given unto him that is the Antichrist to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over all kindreds and tongues. Once again, Daniel chapter 7, very critical to what we're reading this morning. In fact, in light of the entire book of Revelation, Daniel 7 verse 21 says, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Daniel 7:25, and he, that is the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until time, times, and the dividing of time. So there again, we find a reference to a 3.5-year period of time. But this reference to saints at this point in time troubles a lot of Christians. Who are these saints? This has to be the church, right? Well, don't be so quick. There are 9 books in the Old Testament where the word saints is found. The vast majority of them are in the book of Psalms, and none of them refer to the church. In fact, Old Testament believers in Daniel chapter 7 are called saints 6 times. And so we're talking about a term that, let's just say, is generic, that can refer to any that are devoted to God. So just because it's saints does not mean that it's the church. Remember in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about the mystery of Christ that in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And because the word saints is found in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, there are dear brothers and sisters in Christ that I love, that I'm very, very close with, pastors, who say that this means that the church will be on earth for the tribulation period. I do not agree. I believe that the saints here are the Jewish, primarily Jewish people who will be saved, and the Gentile believers in Jesus after the rapture of the church. All right? Now, look at verse 8. Now you know why I didn't get past verse 8, the first service. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh my, oh my. If you look at a mountain range like the Himalayas or the Rockies on a mountain on a cloudy day, oftentimes, because those mountains are so high, the clouds you won't be able to see the peak, you know, the peak of the mountain. The clouds obscure that. Well, we're in verse 8 is one of those mountain peak passages of Scripture because it deals with two words that are very, very biblical, predestination and election. They're in your Bible. That's what this verse talks about. But let's pick it apart. Let's see what it says. First of all, there is the phrase, all that dwell upon the earth. That is a phrase that is used throughout Revelation to describe unbelievers. That doesn't mean everybody on earth will be unbelievers because we just read that there will also be saints on earth. But these unbelievers' names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Okay, take a deep breath. Tune in. We know from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that believers are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We know that we are chosen to adoption, Ephesians 1, 5. We know that we are chosen for good works, Ephesians 2, 10. And we know in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that we have been chosen to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the choice of us, our being chosen, is all by God's grace. Not of works, not of you, not of me, not of our effort, all by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. We know that we are given by God the Father to Christ as the fruit of his death, all being foreknown and foreseen by God. God is not surprised. God cannot learn anything. God is not fooled. With me? Good, good. We know from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, that the world was reconciled by Christ to God. And the exhortation is, be reconciled to God. Okay? We also know, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, that Christ tasted death for every man. So, since the world has been reconciled to God by Christ, and Christ tasted death for every man, is every man automatically saved? No. You see, there is a damnable heresy called universalism that basically says everybody is saved because of what Christ has done. That is not true. The atonement of Christ is sufficient for all, but it's only effective in the case of those who are chosen. They are called the elect. But nobody is excluded the opportunity to come to Christ, for all of us are treated as responsible. So, I'm going to give you some questions, simple answers, okay? Because you guys are looking at me like the beast with the seven heads and the ten horns. Did God write the names of the people in the book of life of the Lamb before the creation of the world? Okay? Okay, good, good. Did God know who would receive the truth about Jesus and who would reject the truth about Jesus before the creation of the world? Okay? When Jesus ascended up into heaven, did he command us to preach the gospel to every creature? So far, you've got three yeses. You're doing good. Did not Paul the Apostle tell us at the end of Colossians chapter 1 that God called him to warn every man and to teach every man in all wisdom that we might present every man perfect in Christ? Yes. So what does this all mean? Okay, listen, listen. The elect are those who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the non-elect are those who refuse to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you may fold your arms and say, I don't like it. Well, I'm sorry, my friend. That's what the Bible teaches us. Yes, God created people who will spend eternity in hell. But who was hell prepared for? Matthew 25:41 says, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It doesn't say the devil, his angels, and the non-elect. Okay? So yes, God did create people who will spend eternity in hell, but no, God did not specifically create people to go to hell, or what is known as double predestinationism. The Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel, the sovereign Lord says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. Turn and live. So if you're not born again, how do you know if you're chosen by God? How can you know if you're one of his elect? By repenting of your sin and putting all of your hope and faith in Jesus Christ. That means if you sit here and you kick your heels and go, I don't like it, we're going to pray for you. But it also means if you're sitting there and go, wow, there is something stirring in my heart. That's the Lord. You see, Peter says these words, that Christ is that Lamb without spot and without blemish, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. How many of you have come to Christ? All that the Father gives me shall come, and him who comes, I will not turn away. You see, it's by coming to Christ that we discover that we are the elect of God. I love how D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, The great lover of souls used to pray before his evangelistic campaigns. He prayed something like this: God, tonight save the elect and then some. And that's always the prayer of the man of God and of the woman of God. Please don't check out yet. My friend, how do you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you know? Anybody ever seen the book? It's not like you can go online, Google search lambsbookoflife.com and go V. Yes, it's in there. So how do you know? Well, by hearing and believing the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again according to the scriptures, and surrendering your life to him. That's the only way God has given in his word for you and I to know. We don't have to figure out that peak of the mountain above the clouds. You can't, nor can I. For 27 years of my life, I knew the gospel facts. I was one of those young Italian boys, lived in the inner city, that would go to catechism classes. Anybody can relate to that? You go walking down the street and everybody would know. They go to public school. And I used to go to church faithfully every Easter and every Christmas and every wedding and every funeral and whenever I got my report card. That was in a time when you could just go to a church anytime. So I had all of the information, guys, up here. But by God's grace, there was a day, there was a time, that wondrous merger of providence and responsibility, when the Spirit of God opened my heart to see something I never saw and to believe in Christ in the way I never knew I needed. And that was a day, and by the Spirit of God, my eyes were opened, my heart was opened to believe in Christ as a sinner with no leg to stand on, more wicked than I ever knew, but more loved than I ever knew. I just said, God, be merciful to me. I am so sorry. Jesus, I pinned you to that cross, but tonight I mean business. This isn't about coming to church. It's not about playing the church game. You see, it's more than information, guys. It's more than knowing the creeds. Paul knew the creeds. Nicodemus knew the creeds. But they didn't know the Lord. And my friend, listen carefully before we close. Listen carefully. Please, please, please. It is only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, my friend, that you can overcome the snares of Satan, the seductions of the flesh, the curse of the law, the wrath of an offended God, the accusations of a guilty conscience, and the vexing doubts and fears of an unbelieving heart. See, coming to that place of receiving Christ doesn't happen overnight any more than a child is conceived one night and born into this world the next night. God's been working in your life for a long time. Without your knowledge and without your quote-unquote permission. Isn't that wonderful? I invite you to come to Christ. The Bible says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you're here and you've never been born again, regenerated by the Spirit of God, you would come. Jesus said, come to me. This is about Jesus, not Koinonia Fellowship. It's about Jesus. It's not about church. It's about Jesus, the King of Glory. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.